Well, it was nice to see each and every one of you in the meeting this evening, and we do welcome you most heartily in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're turning to the hymn numbered 12. The hymn numbered 12. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. No more suitable hymn for us to sing, given the events that are taking place in the nation. And bless God, we ought to remind ourselves that we are among the tiny minority that, looking on the scenes of confusion, can still rejoice that God is on the throne and in control. So let's open our meeting tonight with the hymn numbered 12, please. Just to read a few verses from a psalm, the Psalm 78, just before we pray. There is no prayer book like the Bible. It inspires prayer encourages prayer. Psalm 78, we'll read from verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Amen, and we will end our reading there. Let us bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we bless Thee this evening for Thy kindness and mercy to us. Lord, Thy mercy is all the more obvious when we contemplate the state of affairs all around us. Lord, darkness has come into our nation. The people have turned their back upon the Lord and upon His Word. We have, O God, throughout our lifetime, observed this process and lifted our voice in company with many of Thy faithful servants against the departure. But, O God, we have experienced what so many of the prophets of old experienced. No heed was taken of the warnings that have been sounded to our nation. And Lord, as we see the terrible state of apostasy, the rebellion against God, it causes us all the more to be thankful that the Lord should have looked kindly on us. We remember the words of Ezekiel, there in Ezekiel 9, Lord, where when the man with the ink horn went out and marked those who were to be spared, and then the slaughter man went forth in judgment and slew all who had not the mark of God upon them. Observing the scene, the prophet said, "And I was left." Lord, we thank Thee for sparing us today from the wickedness that is rampant. We thank Thee this Saturday evening we're found in the house of God. We are found, O God, with a heavenly company. Yes, Lord. We're found with those who love Thee, those who are born again and washed in the precious blood. Lord, we are a privileged people. Help us to recognize that and to praise Thy name for it. We thank Thee, Lord, we're here to listen to the Word of God. We thank Thee for Thy servant that Thou hast sent amongst us this evening. We thank Thee for His willingness, His readiness to travel a long distance, Lord, from Crossgar on that evening, Lord, which is special to preachers. The Saturday evening, the evening before the Sabbath. And yet, Lord, thy servant has surrendered that and sacrificed that and undertaken the journey and come down to minister unto us. Bless him tonight, Lord. I pray that he will, above all here, be benefited by the preaching of the word. What a marvel it is, Lord, that we as preachers can proclaim your word, and even as we're preaching it, feast upon it. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray tonight that preacher and people will feast upon the word of God. Lord, it is our safeguard. It is our protector. It is our comforter, our light, our guide, our help. It is the source of encouragement, Lord, when all around us is desolation and disappointment. Oh God, how good it is. And we have caught ourselves, as it were, quietly rejoicing in this as we have listened to the latest reports of confusion. Lord, we have found ourselves enjoying that calm and that peace that comes from a knowledge that God is working out His purpose. His purpose. Oh, how we thank Thee tonight, Lord, that Thou art on the throne.
Amen.
And yet, Lord, from Thy word, and even last night, we were encouraged to think upon this. From Thy word we learn that even in the darkest of times, God is ready to answer prayer. God is ready to answer prayer. And I would ask Thee, Lord, that Thou would remember Thy remnant in these dark and evil times, and stay Your hand upon them, and strengthen them, and grant, Lord, a breath of revival among the people of God. Lord, may there be a work of restoration. May there be a seeking out of the old paths and a desiring to know God in all His power once again. Lord, we thank You for last night, the beginning of our little conference. Good start, Lord. A good start. And I pray that Thou wilt lead us on tonight, and again in the services tomorrow. Bless all who are here, especially, Lord, we pray for the young ones. We pray for the young believer, Lord. Oh, that God would take a dealing with them. We think of that prayer meeting that we're marking reverently 70 years ago. Lord, there was a young fella in that prayer meeting, just a teenager, Lord. John Douglas. And he wasn't even able, Lord, to get to all the sessions he would love to have gotten to. And yet, Lord, it is very evident in his life, in the 70 years that have come since that prayer meeting, that Thy blessing came upon him and rested on him. Lord, do it again for young ones in our meeting here. And not only here, Lord. Not only here. Remember, everywhere in the congregations of the Free Church, those who will face the future, God strengthen them. May there be Samuels raised up. May there be Davids raised up. May there be Jeremiahs raised up, all young when You call them. Lord, do a work of grace and power amongst us all, and comfort us and bless us this night. Remember the word that went out in Roscommon today. Those who sought to serve Thee there, Lord, may it have been a good day, and may much good yet come of the labors of Thy people. Answer our prayers, remembering our land, Thou hast told us to pray for the leaders, the rulers, and we do, Lord. Lord, we look on them with pity, for Lord, they are in places of great authority, and yet, Lord, they're on their own, they're lost, they don't know what to do. They have schemings which are their own inventions, Lord, and time again we have seen them come to nothing. Lord, may it please Thee in the midst of all that to speak to some of them. Make them realize their helplessness and look to the Lord. Answer prayer we ask of Thee now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. 636, Elijah made a sacrifice to offer to Jehovah. It had been wet with water thrice. Baal's sacrifice was over. 636, we'll stand after we hear the introduction.
Thank you. It's good to be here this evening and to share fellowship with you around the Word of God afresh. And we are in a time, I suppose, of special celebrations. We're celebrating and marking the anniversary of that prayer meeting 70 years ago when God came in mighty power. And last night I was at a dinner that the Mars Memorial had, the 50th anniversary of the opening of Mars Memorial, which will be on the 4th of October, but they had their dinner last night, and it was good to see some video and pictures of that day, and the great crowd, 7,000 people gathered there that day in two tents outside, and you could see people out round the railings, and God's mighty power, what days those were, and we thank God for his mercies and his blessings in those days. Our brothers said about me getting saved in Lisbalaw times, and I do remember that I had come to know the Lord as my Saviour just in my own room. I'd been under conviction of sin for a good while. I remember meetings that the Reverend Foster was preaching in. I can always remember where I was sitting, although I don't remember what our brother was preaching about. But one of those times when God was working in conviction. And I had got saved, but I'd told nobody. But I remember we were coming out of Lisbalaw, and it was only myself and my father and Eric Lucy and Mr. Foster. And Eric Lucy turned to me and he said, "Gordon, have you got saved?" And I wondered how on earth he knew that I... But he had noticed the change in behaviour in the Sunday school class, because while I was under conviction of sin, I was anything but cooperative in the Sunday school. Tried to drown out the gospel, really. That's what I was trying to do. But God had saved us by his grace and by his power. And we remember those days, powerful days, and God's power in the meetings too. And we look to God. He's the same God today. And we pray that God will answer by power and come and visit us in these days. Can we turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18? We're having a gospel mission at the minute. It closes tomorrow, and I'd ask you could pray for a gospel mission. There was a man saved last Lord's Day. He wasn't saved in our meeting, but he went to Lisburn Church later on in the evening. He got saved in Lisburn. And Mr. Martin asked him what really had led him to think about salvation or what, and the man said, well, he said, to tell you the truth, he says, I was over in the mission in Crossgar today, and as the word was preached, all my questions were answered, and he kindly put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another man who's been in the meetings, and he's also said that in that meeting last Lord's Day, all his questions were answered. But as yet that man has not come, and he has done this before in other missions that we have had, and he's been so close, and we have talked to him, and then he walks away, and he that had been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. So do pray that God will work in his heart and bring him back in again under the sound of the word of God tomorrow. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer afresh? Our gracious and our loving God, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee afresh. We thank thee for the praise that has ascended to thee already as we have come to worship thee this evening. We thank thee, our God, for thy mercies, not only in days gone by, but even today. We thank thee for the living to praise thee. We thank thee for those who in our land are still interested in thy word. We thank thee for the desire to come and to hear the precious word of God. We thank thee that thy word is truth. And O God, we just ask thee that thy blessing might be upon us as we come to the preaching of thy word tonight. We pray that thy word might have free course and be glorified. We pray that we might know that God is here and that to bless us. O God, we thank thee as you open thy word. We have that little touch of heaven upon earth. And O God, we pray that we might be enthralled, that we might be made happy, and Lord, that our gladness might grow as we do reflect on what our brother has said as he sought thee in the place of prayer, that we have a peace that this world cannot take away. Bless and be with us. Draw near as we seek thy face. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now I want to look at Luke chapter 18 here. And we're looking at the first 8 verses there that we read. And if I was going to take a title for the message this evening, it's just this: don't give up, look up. And maybe tonight you have been tempted to give up. And who hasn't? We all, in our human frailty, have that temptation. And many times, I'm sure, maybe every day, maybe even today, you were tempted to give up. I read an illustration about Ted Turner, the American cable television millionaire. And Turner one time went to address the American Humanist Association. It was a banquet, and he received an award for his work for the environment and world peace, and he was openly critical of fundamental Christianity. And this is what he said. He said, Jesus would be sick at his stomach over the way his ideas have been twisted. And he went on and he said, I've been saved 7 or 8 times, but I gave up on it when, despite my prayers, my sister died. And then he said, the more I strayed from my faith, the better I felt. And there he was, and he thought that this was something that God had not answered his prayer. Of course, he's dead wrong. Yeah. And I think that in more recent times he has come to realize that, or did come to realize that, because in the more recent considerations or pronouncements, he no longer owns himself as an atheist or even an agnostic. But you know, in many ways, his attitude that he had anyway, perfectly reflects the attitude that many hold today about God, and especially about the place of prayer. We just throw up our hands at times and we say, what's the use? Many maybe will admit that tonight, that we have thought that as we have come to the place of prayer. And this weekend, has been called to, especially mark that 70th anniversary of that historic prayer meeting in the old Ravenhill church. And when God came down in power, we think of how, and Dr. Douglas would have told you last night about Bob Scott and his desire to have an open air down in the middle of the city, and how Dr. Paisley told him that we have to pray first, we have to seek the face of God. And that led to the 36-hour prayer meeting, Bob Scott, Dr. Paisley, Dr. Douglas, and there was another man also was there for a time. And God in his power came down, and as Mr. Foster has said, that was something that was talked about years later. I was saying that it's the 50th anniversary of the opening of the martyrs. And we were seeing some videos last night of that opening and all that took place. And the crowds that were gathered there lined up the Ravenhill Road to get into that meeting. It showed a little snippet of inside, and the people just there lined up, and every seat occupied, and the tents outside. We think of the missions that took place before Dr. Paisley came to Crossgar. He had a mission in Rathfryland. I think maybe there was more than 100 saved at that gospel campaign. And then he came to Crossgar, 91 precious souls saved by the grace of God. God was at work in a mighty way in those days. We have a few of those that were saved in those meetings still among us. We have a brother, George Jackson, who's among us, saved as a child. Mrs. Paisley, Dr. Paisley's mother, led him to the Saviour in those meetings. And you think of what the Lord says here. The key is at the door of this portion of Scripture, as Matthew Henry said about another portion of Scripture, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And not only does the Lord give the principle of prayer here, but he gives something of the pictures of prayer. Because if you look in verse 10, you have a praying Pharisee. If you look in verse 13, you have a praying publican. If you look in verse 18, you have a praying ruler. And then in verse 38, you have a praying beggar. So here is something that the Lord wants to underline, the place of prayer. And it is something that you know about, and I know about, and it is something that we will pay lip service to in many ways, and thank God for the desire to come. And I can remember mighty prayer meetings. I remember a prayer meeting in our own church in Enniskillen. And when God told me in no uncertain terms that I was to go forward for the ministry, I to this day can't explain what happened in that prayer meeting, but I know that I can take you to the place in the prayer room in Enniskillen where that happened. I remember a prayer meeting here. I've told you this before. Late night prayer meetings here in the church here, before it was the church, before it became the church here. It was just a hall at the time. But there were some late night prayer meetings, and God's blessing came down. And you know, it is good to pray, but how hard it is for us to learn the lesson. You know, there was a tourist one time who went to Dundee, and he wanted to find out about the great preacher Robert Murray McShane. And so he went to St. Peter's Church in Dundee, and he went in, and the caretaker was there, and he was showing that he was an American tourist, and he showed this American round St. Peter's Church in Dundee. And he asked the man, he said, what was the secret of Robert Murray McShane's ministry? And the old caretaker brought him into the minister's room. He says, you see that chair sit in that chair. So the man sat down in the chair. He says, now, he said, I want you to put your arms on the arms of the chair. I want you to put your elbows on the arms of the chair. And he says, then what you do is put your face in your hands. And then you weep and cry to God. And he says, that was the secret of the ministry of Robert Murray McShane. And you know, things have not changed. They don't change. It's just that we seem so hard to learn the lesson. And we see the stress here that God puts upon the subject of prayer. Men ought always to pray. Not that they should, but they ought always to pray and not to faint. And you know, as we think, there's a well-known verse of Scripture. It's a well-known passage of Scripture. But oh, how God speaks to us afresh as we come to the precious Word of God this evening. And as we come to it tonight, I want us just to see a number of things about God's instruction for prayer here, once again in this portion of Scripture. And the first thing that I want you to see as we look at the passage is the poverty with which we come. We come to God in poverty. You notice what the Lord picks as the subject of the parable. It's a widow woman. And notice what it says. And the Lord, of course, as the master teller of parables, sets it up. Look at what it says in the verses of Scripture. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, notice a number of things as we look at the woman. Look at her requirement. The woman had a need. It says here that she had an adversary. She needed to be avenged of her adversary. And she had a pressing need because she brings it to the judge. She brings it to the magistrate. And she brings it to this man. Now, we need to remember the circumstances and the society in which this all was taking place. We need to remember the customs because she was a woman. And a woman in those days could not speak in a court. She could not speak for herself. She was not allowed to speak in a court. And then she was a widow woman. So she had nobody to speak for her. She had nobody to come. She had no husband to bring her case or to in any way intercede on her behalf. So when she came to speak to the judge here, she was doing something that was frowned upon in society. And yet such was her urgency and such was her need that she felt that she had to overlook the conventions of society and overlook what was the thought of other people about her. And such was the urgency and the trial that she was undergoing here that she said, I have to go to the judge. I have to go. And no doubt she knew that he was unjust. She knew how hard he was, how difficult he was, how unlikely it was that he would listen to her case. And yet such was her need. She felt that she had to go to the Lord, or to the judge rather. And here is a vital and important matter. This is something that mattered to the woman. And you know, I think the Lord deliberately does not tell us exactly, and we know that she has to be avenged of her, but the Lord doesn't actually tell us anything about what she needed to be avenged for, or anything of her circumstances really. We just know that she needs to be avenged of a widow. And I think the Lord is doing that deliberately. Because we all have urgent needs. And we come in our poverty like the widow woman. We have nothing to plead. We, in ourselves, thank God for the fact that we're saved and we have a right to enter into the throne room of God, unlike the woman here. But nevertheless, we feel our unworthiness as we come to God. But you know, we come because surely we feel the urgency. There's an urgency for ourselves. We think of our own needs, our own lives. And you know, when we look at ourselves, we recognize how little we pray and how little we seek the face of God. We need to come and the Lord stir us up and revive our hearts and put His hand upon us. They're the needs of our neighbors, our doorstep around us. Those that are going down the road to a lost and undone eternity. Those that are perishing in their sins. Our friends, our loved ones, our workmates. We look at the mission field. And the fields are white unto harvest. And the harvest needs to be brought in. And we think of the needs that are all around us. There needs to be the preaching, faithful preaching of the blood and the book. And then we think of the needs of our land. And we think of all that is taking place in our land. We think of how the government, or at least the parliament, and the government by the laws of parliament are going to foist abortion upon us and same-sex marriage upon us. And we think of the perversions that are taking place and everything turned upside down in this day in which we live. And men and women falling over themselves in this crazy world in which we live. In which they tell us that men can be women and women can be men. A man takes, a woman takes a court case so that she can be called a father on a birth certificate. She gives birth to a child and she thinks that she's a man. Do you know what? It's a crazy world and people have bought into the craziness. Yes. And surely we need to see a turn in our land. If there was ever a need for us to pray, to seek the face of God, it is today. Because our voice is ignored. Our voice without the Lord. If the Lord puts the shout back into our voices. If the Lord gives us that open door to proclaim His word. But otherwise the world will ignore us and call us head cases, as they do. But we need the Lord to come. We think of what Jonah said, that salvation is of the Lord. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because there is a requirement. There is a need. Surely, if ever there was a day when we see the need, it is today. But not only had the widow a requirement, but she had a risk. See, if the adversary that she was talking about was still abroad, she was at obvious risk from further attack. And we're reminded that the Christian is at risk from an enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And we're reminded in the Bible, and we're reminded by our own experience. Like the woman, we need help from outside of ourselves. And that's all the more relevant because the passage here in Luke chapter 18 is linked with what we read in Luke chapter 17, where the Lord speaks about the last days of the age. And we think of what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 to 10. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You notice what it said there in verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Yes.
Oh, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against angels and principalities and powers. Notice especially the word in verse 9 there of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It speaks of Satan coming with all power. We live in a day when the power of Satan seems to be increasing. There is that spirit of anti-Christianity that is abroad. And if there is ever a dark day for God's people, we need to pray. We need to pray. But not only has the woman a requirement and a risk, but she has a rebuff. Look at verses 3 and 4. She came to him, and she says, "Avenge me of mine enemy." But we're told here that he would not. For a while, verse 4, the start of it. So here's a woman who comes. She felt her need. She knows her need, and that's why she cries. That's why she comes. But she's rebuffed. She's refused. And the thing about this man is that he's an unjust judge. And he does that out of prejudice and sheer hard-heartedness. But you know, perhaps there have been times when we have prayed to the Lord, and the Lord doesn't do it out of hard-heartedness in any way or any prejudice, because the Lord loves us. But have there been times when we have felt as if the Lord's not hearing? When the heavens have been as brass. You know, in James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, we're urged to pray earnestly, to seek the face of God earnestly. But maybe you have been earnest, and sometimes it seems as if there's no answer. That phrase about the heavens being as brass is taken from Deuteronomy 28 and 23. And in verse 23, the Lord describes, if the people will not obey him, he will curse their crops, and says, the heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. Now these were people that refused to obey, and he says he wouldn't answer their prayers for rain. Maybe, as I speak, most of us, maybe all of us, probably all of us, will nod our heads, and we will say, yes, there are times when the Lord seems to have ignored my prayer. And you find that in the Bible. You think about the Psalm 28, and turn over to the Psalm 28, and you find that here the psalmist, he sees, he knows this experience. Look at what he says in verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. He says, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, don't be silent to me. He says in verse 2, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. And you can see what he's doing, and you can read down the psalm there, and it is our experience that there are times when it seems as if God is not listening. We feel as if there is a rebuff, and we feel frustrated. Now we know that God works all things together for good to them that love God. But that doesn't make us feel any less frustrated when it seems as if God is not hearing our prayers. And I want you to see there is a rebuff. But I want you to see something else. I want you to see her resolve. Because though she was rebuffed, she kept on asking.
Yeah.
She did not give up. She did not take no for an answer. And she knew that her cause was just and right. And she just kept on going back to the judge. And you know, sometimes God delays our answers so that we might be taught to be persistent in prayer and so that we might learn to lean upon him.
Yes.
But he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Maybe you have given up. We look at our prayer meetings today and sometimes it seems as if they're getting smaller and smaller. Maybe you don't go as often as once you did. But the Lord says, no, don't give up. Look up. Look to him. Because God is the only one who can answer our prayers. So we notice the poverty in which he came. But look then also at the prevalence for which we are confident. Because this woman was able to prevail with the unjust judge. In the end, it says in verses 4 and 5, he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So here is this woman, she's in an absolutely hopeless position, she has no power, she has no influence of her own, she is in poverty, she's in the place of feebleness, she is weak, she's just on her own. What did she do? Well, she just kept on going and persisted. And the fact that she would not give up is all the more remarkable because this is an unjust judge. It says that he feared not God, neither regarded man. And the Lord is setting this up because usually people, no matter how wicked, will care something for one another. But this man doesn't seem to care at all. But the God that we go to loves us with an everlasting love. And the Lord is underlying the power of importunity here because he's setting it up as the worst possible situation. This is a man who doesn't care. Doesn't care about God, doesn't care about his fellow, doesn't care about the widow. And even he, by persistence, is caused to give the answer to the prayer and to the petition. And here is the teaching of the scripture. The Lord is saying, don't give up. Especially do not give up on the place of prayer. The Bible says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 8, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. This is total, complete perseverance. No flagging. No inconsistency. Not being in the prayer meeting or in the place of prayer sometimes and then missing out. This is that we have a renewed zeal for the place of prayer. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, the apostle writes, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now the thing is, I wonder if you're doing that. I wonder if you do that. You know, in some parts, particularly in America, in recent years, there's been a revival of interest in Reformed and Puritan sovereign grace doctrine. And there has been an interest in the doctrine, and they're interested in the Puritans. They're interested in Puritan doctrine, but maybe not just so much in Puritan piety. You think of David Brainerd, the missionary among the American Indians, and he cried to God at night in the snow. And we don't, of course, we don't have to go out into the snow, but this man was so earnest that he cried to God in the snow. He just had to cry where he was and cry unto God. Oh, that the Lord would give us that terror of the Lord, that we might cry. We have to ask that we might receive, we might seek that we might find, knock. And he says, the door will be open unto you. But I want you to see that persistent prayer is earnest prayer. You see, if we did gain the answer to our prayers just off, every time we asked, the Lord was to just give the petition that way. Do you know what we would do? We would treat God as a kind of a servant. We'd treat God as a kind of a gopher. And we'd treat God in an offhand fashion. Oh, I can just ask God and God will give me it right away. You know, the Lord sometimes holds off the answer and just delays the answer so that we might learn that we just can't go to God as a servant. We need to worship Him and come to Him and draw near to Him. But here is a woman, and as she comes to God, she becomes more earnest, more zealous. And the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to be earnest about the things of God. We need to be willing to spend time before the Lord at the place of prayer. Not only was it earnest prayer, this persistent prayer, but it is worshipful prayer. You see, here she comes to bow before God and to worship Him, because she knows that He's not just her servant. Or she knows here, the woman knows that she has to bow before the unjust, and she's not worship Him as such, but she gives Him her place, and we need to come and worship before our God. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Psalm 2 and verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We can't treat God offhand. We come to Him in worship. Not only is persistent prayer earnest prayer and worshipful prayer, but it's believing prayer. See, this woman had to believe that the man that she was going to was able to meet her need. That's what kept her going. That's what kept her asking. And despite the refusal, the widow believed that the unjust judge could give her what she wanted. So she kept on asking. She believed. In Mark 11 and 24 it says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye may receive them, and ye shall have them. James 1 speaks about praying for wisdom, and it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We've got to believe that He is. and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But then I want you to see that persistent prayer is answered prayer. Yes. Because here is the prayer that is answered. She goes to this hard-hearted man and she gets what she wanted. And the Lord is saying, how much easier it is for you to get what you want from me. If you ask according to my will, I'll hear you, he says. I remember a man had no interest in the gospel and the things of God. He grew up in the other, he had been brought up in a Christian background. A mother who prayed for him, prayed all his life that he might be saved. Because what he was interested was in the bowls. And that woman prayed all her life and it seemed as if her prayer was not answered. And she died. And it seemed as her prayer was not answered. But at her funeral, God spoke to that man. And that man got saved by the grace of God. She had never seen her son come and put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. But those prayers were answered. Yes. And mother, father, young person, keep on praying. Because God is the one who answers prayer. Jacob wrestled with God and would not let him go unless he blessed him. And we need to learn to wrestle with God in these days. But there's something else I want you to see in this portion of Scripture. I want you to see the power in which we can count. You see, the woman went to the unjust judge. But we come to a merciful Father, as we say. And there's power in which we can count. God's a God who loves us and wants the best for us. And God simply holds back the answer for the ultimate good of our souls, as we said. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And the woman came before an unjust judge, and we come before a righteous judge. Father. Yes. And I want you to see that what we learn here is that God has his time for working. Yes. There is a set time to visit Zion. You think about God's set times. And you notice what it says in verse 7 here. It says, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? So there's the thought of delay. But then look at verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And there you have the thought that God will avenge speedily. He will come as speedily as he can. He will come when the time is right. He will come at the first available opportunity. He will hear and he will answer our prayers. And what a wonderful comfort that brings to us tonight. You know, it says that our redemption draweth nigh. We read in Matthew 24 about the time of the great tribulation. And it says in Matthew 24 verses 21 and 22, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But then it says this, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And you see, there was a day of, or it will be a day of darkness. A day that is a day which will be terrible, even for God's people. But God says, for the elect's sake. God, in the darkest days, hears the prayers of his people. He's listening to your cry. He's hearing what you pray. As you call upon him, and it may be in a small meeting, in a small prayer meeting, maybe in your home, in a hall, or in the maybe a men's prayer meeting or something where there's only a few. But God hears your cry. And he's the God who answers prayer. And will, the Bible says, do it exceeding abundantly. Above all that we can ask or think. Never think that God is forsaking you. Never think that God has turned his back upon you. Because you're his. You're saved by his grace. You're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And he's a God who hears and answers prayer. He may delay the answer, but thank God we'll understand it better by and by. May God help us tonight to remember the place of prayer and to seek him with all of our hearts. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee tonight. O God, we rejoice in thy mercy. We thank thee tonight that we have the place of prayer. We're glad, O God, that we are able to enter into thy presence. Yes. O God, we thank thee that our prayers are stored in the golden vials. We thank thee that they're treasured in heaven. And O God, sometimes we despise our prayers. And Lord, we think little of our prayers. And we think so little of them sometimes that we don't even bother to pray. And yet, Lord, our prayers are stored up in heaven. And the God of love hears every cry as we come to thee. O God, help us in these days to cry unto thee. Bless us now. Separate us in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us tomorrow on the Lord's day and bless thy word. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.